Many individuals and families in Arkansas give to nonprofits. Sometimes they even try to give to certain activities or organizations that they feel very strongly about, like food insecurity, education, women's health. They often try to set up savings accounts or funds of some sort, maybe even do an endowment that gives out even grants. But how do you do that? We in Arkansas have a very unique organization that can help you do that, and it's called the Arkansas Community Foundation. And I had the opportunity to sit down with Jody Dilday, the Vice President of Northwest Operations, so we could talk about what they can do and what they do in Arkansas. Jody, thank you for coming. I appreciate you coming into our studio today.
Absolutely.
So, okay, tell me a little bit about what the Arkansas Community Foundation is all about. Because to me, it's really weird to hear the word community and go, well, that sounds like a really small little organization.
Mm-hmm. And we're not a small little organization. Right. Right. Because we're a very big community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Arkansas Community Foundation is actually a statewide nonprofit organization. So our community is Arkansas in our name. And we help people who are who have concerns connect to the causes that they care about. So we help generous people invest and give back to their communities. We help nonprofits meet those kinds of people. And also we help them with some capacity building. And then we provide information for our entire state, for anyone to use, about some key indicators around what is going on in Arkansas that impacts all of us, whether that is a health indicator or an economic indicator. We publish that data on a website called aspirearkansas.org.
Now, do you, as far as the makeup of your of the organization, it's, you know, you always think of a nonprofit as being something like the food bank or Seven Hills or something like that. And you guys have a completely different model. You have a funding model that you find funders,
mm-hmm.
and they decide where the money goes, or do you help them decide, or what exactly? And this goes back to your funny little title that you have for yourself, besides VP of Northwest
Operations. Yeah, so we are very different in that we're not out actively fundraising, where you don't have folks who are trying to raise money to support our mission.
Right.
Our mission is really to mobilize philanthropy, to mobilize generosity in the community. So we provide information and tools for donors, and then we help them connect with nonprofits. So because we are statewide, I like to give the analogy, since we live in Northwest Arkansas, we're like Walmart headquarters and then the stores out in the community, right? So our headquarters for the Community Foundation is in Little Rock.
Right.
And we have stores, if you will. We have our branch offices, our affiliates in nearly 30 communities around the state. So we really value local leadership, local knowledge. We know that people in communities know best what they need, where they need it. And so we don't want somebody, you know, from the top deciding down where money goes. But to your question, that was a little bit about how we're set up.
Yeah.
To your question, both the foundation itself and donors decide where the money goes.
Right.
So we have what's called foundation directed grants, and that's just what it sounds like. The foundation, our staff, and the volunteers that we assemble to review grants, they decide where some grants go, foundation directed grants. And then we also have donor advised grants. So that is when a donor decides, you know, I care about Fayetteville. I live in Fayetteville and I want to give back to causes in my little neighborhood community, then I can create a fund and the foundation will help me. They will help me manage the money so that it grows. They will help me make grants, even if helping me make grants just means they're going to cut the check and lick the stamp and put it in the mail. But sometimes donors want a little more personal service. They want to deeply understand an issue and understand which nonprofits are working on that issue, understand a little bit about how they are working on the issue, what approach they're taking. Are they taking a moment in time, let's fill a belly today if the issue is hunger, or are they looking upstream at the causes of hunger and trying to solve there? So donors, based on their personal values, their life experiences, their approach. We really customize and help them with the kind of charitable giving and the support that they want.
So that's the concierge part of it.
That's the concierge. Yes, the concierge. I tell people, so I have made this little funny title, and back when hashtags were really a thing, I would write hashtag philanthropy concierge, because that's how I describe my work. Now in my signature title in my email, it says philanthropic advisor.
Right.
But I'm not giving advice on where to give money. The donors are coming to me and saying, I want to solve, you know, there's a shortage of foster care workers or foster care parents. I want to solve that issue. So then I'm like a concierge who says in a hotel, if somebody comes to the concierge at a hotel and says, we want to go out for dinner tonight, the concierge doesn't say, go to my favorite place, it's on the corner. The concierge asks a lot of questions. They ask, what's your budget? What is the kind of ambiance you want? You want to sit down and white linen tablecloth, or do you want sort of fast casual? Do you like ethnic food, or do you want straight up, you know, American hamburgers? So as a philanthropy concierge, I do a lot of the same things. I'll ask them about their budget. I'll ask them about, you know, do they really want to solve something in the moment and really help somebody who is struggling today? Or are they looking for to work with an organization that's working on solutions to the problem, not just temporary, you know, support? I'll ask them a lot of personal questions to understand their values, to understand what their life experiences have been and what has shaped them. Often we talk about faith and what that means to them. And, you know, sometimes people give out of a sense of they were given a lot, or they, you know, were very fortunate and they want to give back. Others have had experiences, you know, for example, if somebody really struggled with in their family, but was able to receive an academic scholarship to a university, which changed the trajectory of their life, they often want to do that for somebody else. So is it a pay it forward? Is it a pay it back? Is it, this is my duty, and this is my faith tradition? Is this something I want to do in honor or in memory of a loved one? So we get really, really personal.
Yeah. So let's just walk through it for just a second. So somebody has one of these things, epiphanies, that they really want to help out, something that changed their lives or whatever, or they see a need. Mm-hmm. They come to the Arkansas Community Foundation and they say, hey, listen, I have this much money. They come, and then you step in and ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
From there, how do you go about the process of helping them? What does the Community Foundation give them that they couldn't do on their own?
Well, it's a matter of, you know, being embedded in a community, knowing the nonprofits, knowing how they operate, knowing who is doing what. I think we get them to their solution faster. Mm-hmm. You know, just like anybody can find out anything now between the internet and talking to others, we help them get there faster. So philanthropy, especially large philanthropy, is and can be a full-time job for some people. And I like to tell people, we take a lot of the headache and the administration out of it so that you can have the fun and the reward of giving. So the Community Foundation, if somebody comes to us and says, I want to make a difference, I want to help, here's my budget, we're going to talk to them about, do they want to do something right now? Do they want to create a fund that will live on in perpetuity, perhaps even beyond their lifetime? So creating a legacy of generosity. So we talk about timeline, and we'll set up a fund for them, their own charitable fund within our foundation. So instead of having to go out and establish a private foundation, an individual or a family or a business can come to us, and we'll create a charitable fund for them within our foundation. And depending on how that is set up, if it's an endowment that's going to last forever, then it's an endowment that's going to last forever. Yeah. If it's what we call a quasi-endowment that's not going to last forever, they will often make larger grants and spend the entire amount down. And we just, depending on their timeline and what they want to accomplish, will help them set up the giving priorities. A lot of donors now like to be very hands-on, as you can imagine. And so they'll set up a fund, they'll fund the fund, and then as organizations and needs come across their, you know, across their desk, they will direct us to make a grant from their fund on their behalf.
Right. Huh. Okay. You guys are going on 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Do you know how this whole started?
I do, actually. Yep, started in 1976, obviously. And a woman by the name of Mary McLeod, she and former Governor Winthrop Rockefeller really championed this initiative. Governor Rockefeller had been exposed to a community foundation in New York and thought, you know, we need that in Arkansas. And so they set up the fund, the foundation, and he funded it from his foundation for the first, I can't remember if it was 3 or 5 years, but he gave the seed money that got the foundation started, and they made $8,000 in grants the first year to three organizations. And so from there, it just grew. Other people decided to put a fund in the foundation and to begin using our resources to give back. And from my understanding, there were some really lean days and days that they weren't sure they were going to make it.
You probably know that from your experience working for other nonprofits.
You can get real scrappy and real creative. There are times when it gets very lean and you wonder, are we going to make it?
Yeah.
But I can solidly say that the Community Foundation has made it and will make it and will be here, you know, for the next 100 years and more to fulfill the intent of donors.
So you have 30 affiliates.
29 affiliates.
29 affiliates. Mm-hmm. Okay. And are those in each county or each?
So some are specifically county-based, and some of them serve multiple counties. Right. So they might serve an entire region.
Right.
In the Fort Smith area, it's called the Western Arkansas Affiliate. It serves Crawford and Sebastian County. We have an affiliate in Carroll County. And here in Fayetteville, we have the Fayetteville Area Community Foundation.
What does those affiliates actually do?
Yeah, good question. The affiliates are really the community, local-based giving back. They administer a fund called the Giving Tree Endowment, which is a pooled fund. It's a grant-making fund. So our local boards are grant makers. They are, because they live in the community, they know what the issues are in a community. They know the nonprofits that are doing good work in the community. They will review grant proposals that we receive every year and make hard decisions on limited funds. Where will these grant dollars go? And sometimes, you know, the Community Foundation's role is not just to put money towards a problem. There's not enough money often to solve it, but oftentimes what we can do is help convene groups of people that need to be talking together and working on an issue together. Our Fayetteville affiliate is doing an excellent job of that right now. They are convening the South Fayetteville nonprofits on a quarterly basis. A lot of the nonprofits that serve the homeless community in South Fayetteville are coming together every quarter, convened by our Fayetteville affiliate, talking to one another, learning from one another. What are you working on? How can we help? You know, they've got the warming shelter that they collaboratively come together to do and to staff during the winter months. So those are some examples.
On that vein, when you're talking about resources and bringing organizations together, I know that some large corporations have tapped you guys to find ways to meet certain goals in certain areas, but that you guys have like basically a line into. When it comes to you're not just doing funding then. You are actually being out there on certain, are there certain areas that the foundation puts a little emphasis on?
Yes.
Or is there?
Mm-hmm. Several years ago when we started publishing our Aspire Arkansas report, it was an indicators report, tells us county by county how we're doing in different areas. And as a foundation, we realized that this tool could have tremendous value if we found problems that were statewide, that we could actually mobilize our local volunteers and the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fund holders that we have. If we could inform them about an issue, educate them on the solutions that are available, and then hopefully encourage them to be generous towards those issues. So the first issue that we tackled as a foundation, and when I say tackle, we approached it. I don't know that we've got the full tackle.
You actually tackled it? It's done?
We haven't solved it. Okay. But something that stood out to us is that, and this is a dismal statistic, and unfortunately there are a lot of statistics in Arkansas that really break your heart.
Right.
At that time, only 36% of kids in third grade were reading at third grade level. 36%. So 64% of all the kids in school were not reading at grade level by the time they reached third grade. And why is that important? It is third grade where we really make the switch from learning to read to reading to learn. And if you can't read and comprehend in third grade, then you can't do the language arts, the social studies, the history assignments that are coming in fourth, fifth, and sixth, and for every grade onward. So if you're behind in reading, it affects everything you do. So that became a critical issue that was brought to our attention, and it didn't matter if you were in Fayetteville or if you were in Dumas or if you were in Bentonville or Texarkana or Jonesboro. It was an issue across the state.
Right.
So what we did as a foundation is we took some of the foundation-directed funds that we had, money that was available for our board of directors to mobilize. And let me tell you what we did first before we started giving money away. We went on a learning journey. And we took our local boards, all of these community-based board members, and we together learned from an organization that's now called Excel by 8. And they talked to us and taught us about what interventions work to overcome this.
Now, was this a national organization or was it a local
organization? Excel by 8 is in Arkansas. Uh-huh. I think they are affiliated with a national organization, but forgive me, I can't recall. Yeah, Excel by 8 was a partner because we're not experts in literacy. Mm-hmm. We're experts in mobilizing philanthropy. So what we did is leaned on the experts in early childhood literacy and interventions that work to help kids get on track for third grade reading. So we found out some of the problems, what reasons that kids fall behind, and then solutions that are geared towards those. For example, right now it's summertime, the summer slide. Some kids are off to camps and they're involved in reading, 100 books at the library, mm-hmm. and they're getting to spend time with grandparents and they've got some enrichment activities happening all summer. And some kids are just parked in the living room or in the backyard, just biding their time because there's not access or affordability. So there are summer reading programs, and we would help the foundation, the statewide organization, incentivized our local affiliate giving pools to direct some funding towards third grade reading. And so when they did, we matched their dollars. And it doesn't matter if you're an individual donor or a collective of an affiliate, anybody who puts matching dollars out on the table, people are trying to get it, And so that really mobilized our affiliates to learn about third grade reading levels and then also to invest in their communities in those initiatives that support it. And then we matched their dollars.
That was the affiliates. Mm-hmm. So the affiliates went out to their local community and asked them to, hey, we've got these matching dollars if you raise this money. Have you seen any improvement? Has there been any studies done to see the value?
So that's interesting because shortly after we launched the real initiative towards third grade reading levels, COVID happened. And so every kid fell behind in everything during
COVID. And
COVID
couldn't actually.
Yeah. We couldn't really separate out what was, where would we have been had it not been for COVID. Yeah. But we keep on keeping on because data tells us that these interventions work. So we're going to continue to fund. The next thing we really worked towards was food insecurity. And we specifically wanted our affiliates and our board members and who are our grant makers to understand the difference between just access to food and food security and the importance of culturally appropriate food and the importance of food that will not create more problems if they already have hypertension, if they already have diabetes. A lot of times what you get in a food pantry might be a lot of canned goods with preservatives, and really what people need is healthy foods to feed their bodies. So that's another initiative that affects everybody in the state. Mm-hmm.
Trying to think, is there anything we might have to break right here? Cause I cannot remember where I'm thinking. Affiliates, office of relations. Okay. Resources you provide. I guess the next question would be, is there anything in particular? I will mention in the intro that, full disclosure, we have a fund with you as the company.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that I have some affiliation with you guys.
Yeah. You should also mention that you have a fund with us as an individual.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And maybe I should get onto that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should, Diana, let me start with that one. Surprisingly enough, my family has a fund with you, and that's how, besides my affiliation, full disclosure, my wife also works at the Community Foundation. And we have a fund, which is surprising. You don't have to have a lot of money.
No, you do
not. I mean,
not.
It's weird for me to sit there and go, I have the Tyree...
The Tyree Family Charitable Fund.
It is like, really?
Yes.
You know.
Well, but I have the Dilday Family Fund and have had for about 8 years.
And it makes it kind of easy because then we send any donations that we give, like dollars, we send it to you and then send it out. And that way you kind of keep track of what we're doing to some degree. Plus, we can put a little bit away each month.
It's a great budgeting tool. For philanthropists who have deep, deep pockets, we're a great tax advantage way for them to do giving. For those of us who have to just budget and put a little money aside so that we can make a gift someday, it's a great budgeting tool. So I love that it's equal access. Anyone in Arkansas can be a philanthropist. And, you know, we always say you don't have to be, you don't have to be a Walton. You don't have to be a Gates or a Zuckerberg. You know, you can be a Dilday and have a fund at the Community Foundation, and it's very accessible.
That's just an interesting aspect of it all. Is this a common thing in different states? Are these organizations common? I had never heard of it. Mm-hmm. Now, full disclosure again, you and I have known each other for 14 years, 15 years. Mm-hmm. We were in leadership at Fayetteville.
Yes.
Fayetteville
Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. You used to work for the...
I worked for the Single Parent Scholarship Fund at that time.
Right, yeah. Right. And then I remember when you left and I thought, where is she going? Is that a big organization? And they're saying they're out of Little Rock. And now that I know what it is, it's like, this is a huge organization.
Actually, you probably have heard of other community foundations. You just don't realize it. Uh-huh. If you've heard of the New York Community Trust.
Yeah.
So that's a community foundation. The very first foundation was in Cleveland, Ohio. And that was in about 1914.
Right.
So currently, I believe there's about 800 community foundations in the U.S. Most of them, the vast majority, are hyper-local. So there's the Dallas Community Foundation, a Denver Community Foundation, the Silicon Valley Community Foundation. So we're talking about cities.
Right.
The Arkansas Community Foundation is set up as it is because we are a small state mm-hmm. in terms of population. We're a primarily rural state. We just have a few population centers. And really, by having all of those back office functions in one location, so mm-hmm. we don't need to have 29 CFOs. We don't need to have 29 CEOs. We have one CEO and CFO, and then we have all of these offices that we can do, mobilize the giving in that community. Mm-hmm.
Have you found through the years that you've worked there are things that the Community Foundation can do in ways that other organizations can't do? Like you said that you can pull people together mm-hmm. As a whole to help the state out education-wise, but have you had organizations come to you and say, hey, listen, we have this issue that we see there's a need, but you have this community infrastructure that we need to borrow or help, mm-hmm. you can help us. Have you had organizations like that help you?
Yes.
Or come to
so
you?
When things bubble up in the community or in the nation that need to be addressed or need to be looked at more closely, we will gather people in those instances. So for example, recently, lots of federal grants mm-hmm. cut. Nonprofit organization, you hear federal grants, I think sometimes people think USAID. Well, I'm telling you, federal grants impact our local domestic violence shelter. Yeah. They impact our local Center for Sexual Assault. They impact our local children's advocacy centers. So all of this money trickles down and affects us locally. Just last week or the week before, I was getting phone calls from arts organizations, mm-hmm. the National Endowment for the Arts, you know, funding cuts. And so our arts organizations that we love and that we want to, you know, see, and it's part of the culture of our community to have that quality of life experience, mm-hmm. those things are being cut as well. So these federal grant cuts impact us locally. So what we did is we brought together a number of organizations, not all of them, because it's affecting everyone, but a select few who were directly being impacted by federal grant cuts. And then we brought together our charitable fund holders so that they could hear how it's being, how they're being impacted. They could see what we learned by that, which was, shouldn't have been surprising to me, but it was, is the real emotional toll it's taking on the workers. So Canopy, for example, our refugee resettlement agency in Northwest Arkansas, day one of the new administration, they had significant grant cuts. And so their staff has been hustling. Their staff has been working overtime, and their staff is still delivering the service that they've promised. So, but to see people who are, their clients are fearful for where they might, if they might be deported. And so just the emotional toll that all of this is taking on, really, they're our frontline workers in our social safety net.
Yeah. But you don't get involved in any of that. You just show that, you just allow the donors to see these opportunities of need.
Yeah, so our role is really to educate and inform. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't tell people where to give their money.
Right.
We just help to bring issues to light so that the philanthropists and the donors can choose. And maybe it informs their giving. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they're still going to give to the same thing they've always given to. But, you know, one of the things that I get to do in my role is I facilitate a group on a monthly basis called the Philanthropy Club. And it's a group of women, and we get together and visit different nonprofits. They may not choose to give to that nonprofit, but they're learning. So it's like a book club. Right. You know, they're learning about things.
And this is in Northwest Arkansas.
This is in Northwest Arkansas specifically. So, you know, that's what we're here to do, is to provide information and resources that leads to smart giving and that builds up our communities.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier is the Aspire. Surprising enough, I don't think most people realize this, that is open to anybody who gets on your website.
AspireArkansas.org, or straight on our website, anybody can see all of the data.
Yeah, and your website is arcf.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, arcf.org. Is there anything else?
I think one of the things that people might not realize that's really unique about the Community Foundation is the majority of the funds that we hold are endowed. So when you think about endowment, you often think of a university or a hospital.
Right.
But at the Community Foundation, generally when people create funds with us, so for example, you and your wife, at some point, when maybe at the end of your life, you say, whatever is remaining in our fund, we want that to be permanently invested, and only a portion of the earnings of what's in that fund will be used, but it'll be used forever. So your fund will live on and continue to support good works in the community beyond your lifetime. So that's really the primary role of a community foundation, and why we were established in the first place, is to generate and create permanent sources of nonprofit philanthropic support. So by endowing these funds and investing them in the market so that they live on and continue forever, we're building wealth that will benefit our communities.
Thank you for coming here and visiting with us. And I think this is a great organization. One of the things people can do is they can get on your website and try to get a hold of you and see if they want to get involved in doing a little foundation. When you talk about me having a foundation, we're talking at times $10 to, you know, so that's what's so interesting about it, is we just started with putting a little bit of money in it and go from there. Full disclosure also, as far as part of all of this, our NWA Media has a foundation with you guys that we've just started to help us with our community journalism, which is really great, because you basically are the person who
they donate to.
That's
and
right.
And then we work with you on how we use the money.
That's right.
Which is kind of an interesting way of doing things as well, to help us kind of do more of this community type journalism, which is great.
It's been very successful. I see the contributions coming in. I see them both online, and I'm the one who's getting them out of the mailbox and, you know, processing them. Yeah. So there's been a really wonderful response from the community that believes in what you're doing.
Well, journalism doesn't pay what it used to, and the papers don't make the money they used to. So this type of thing, I think will really help us in some ways to do some of the coverage that we need, that we think we can use it for.
And it's one of the, it's one of the indicators on our Aspire report that we need to work on, and it's civic engagement. We're lacking in civic engagement across the state, and certainly in some pockets of the state more than others. And what we need to have, we need an informed citizen. You know, you need to be informed in order to live out your civic responsibilities, to vote, to be informed, to be involved in your community. And so we know that's an important need. And so that's why we're able to hold that fund.
And that's why I'm trying to do this more. I'm trying to do more, not these type of podcasts on the different types of community services and stuff that goes on. And it was like, this is a no-brainer. Arkansas Community Foundation, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll do more of these. One of the other projects that we're working on here at NWA Media is, which is something that's kind of cool, we're doing a whole series on unpacking an issue, which means that we'll take a certain issue. Right now we're in the midst of trying to put together a whole thing just on FOI.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to do other types of things so that we can just show people, this is the problem. This is the situation.
Yeah.
Let you understand it so that then you can, if you can hear something, you'll go, oh, I know about this.
You know, if we have another minute, I'll add that one of the things that the Community Foundation also does, we publish a magazine 3 times a year.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, we send it to elected officials, but it's primarily for our fund holders because, again, we want them to be.
You're
a fund holder, so you get it. It's called Engage Magazine, and we take an issue from our Aspire report, and we dive deeper into that issue. So we have done issues on homelessness. We've done it on food insecurity. We've done it on, low-income single parents. And what we do is we'll focus a little bit on the issue. What is the issue? Define it. Then also, who are some organizations that are around the state that are having success working on that issue? We typically will feature an expert who writes an opinion article. And then we also feature a donor, somebody who is committed to that cause or that issue. And so same kind of thing, unpacking that issue, looking at it from different angles, exploring it a little more. It doesn't mean that we're trying to twist anybody's arm that now they have to give to something new, but really just what else are we working on in Arkansas?
Well, I think the most important thing we have today is being informed.
That's right.
The biggest problem that we have is just people understanding an issue is so important, and that's what we're trying to do here. So thank you again. I do appreciate you coming and visiting with me. We will probably talk more over time.
I'm sure we will. We've been talking for 14 years. We'll keep talking. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.